and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A Libyan man suspected of building a bomb that caused a plane to explode over Scotland in the 80s is in American hands. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
His name is Abu Aguila Massoud, a Libyan national. The U.S. had announced charges against him 2 years ago, alleging he played a key role in the destruction of Pan Am Flight 103. That tragedy still stands as the deadliest terror attack on British soil. The Boeing 747 exploded shortly after takeoff from London to New York from a bomb concealed in an audio cassette player in the cargo hold. All 259 passengers and crew died, along with 11 people on the ground.
NASA's Orion capsule safely returned to Earth around 20 minutes ago, concluding a 25-day test flight.
Splashdown. From Tranquility Base to Taurus Littrow to the tranquil waters of the Pacific, the latest chapter of NASA's journey to the moon comes to a close.
Not everyone is in favor of the prisoner swap with Russia that brought WNBA star Brittany Griner home. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
There is no doubt that today, not just Vladimir Putin, but all the bad guys, the Iranians, others who hold Americans in detention, see that if you take a celebrity, the chance of getting one of your bad guys back out of American control is greater.
Russia faces accusations it's using Iranian-made drones to hit targets in Ukraine. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab reports on the ongoing fighting.
Bakhmut is a key prize in Moscow's quest to seize all of the contested eastern Donbass region. Residents are now relying on heated tents to get warm and to charge their electronics. It's where we meet Andrei Haydamalka. Every day we go to bed without power or water, he says. It's like living in a fog. One thing Haydamalka and his mother Ala do have is heat, thanks to an old gas heating system. But even that is likely to stop working soon.
COVID and flu cases are dramatically rising across the U.S. CBS's Tom Foti has more.
The Centers for Disease Control calls it the worst flu season in 25 years. And that's not all. There's also COVID and RSV. In fact, because of the latest COVID increase, there are some new masking suggestions in Los Angeles and in New York, some involving kids, some for people indoors in general.
Civil rights activist Dorothy Pittman Hughes has died.
She had created the first child care center, non-sexist, multiracial child care center in New York City. And also she was a kind of genius street organizer of all the merchants along 125th Street.
This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end of the year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council. As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows level off around 24. Daytime highs approaching 36. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
It's that time. Christmas time is here.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are in our final hour. Thank you for listening, wherever you are, in any of the states, in any of the cities that we air in, all across the Civic Media Network, on the app, on the podcast. We're happy that you're here. It's December.
It is.
This year has gone by really quickly.
Well, you had a whole bunch of things going on this
year. I did. But yes, this year was very fast. Lots of things happened. The holidays are here, which is very exciting. It is the happiest time of the year, some would say. Maybe not everyone agrees with that, but I will say one thing that makes me very happy is Christmas lights.
I agree.
And it's one of those, I think when I started the week and I said one of the things I learned on vacation is variation is important, because I do catch myself on, as soon as the Christmas lights go up around any city, everything just looks prettier. And there's always a part of me that says, well, why can't we just have these up all year round? Not necessarily the distinctive, you know, Santa Claus is everywhere.
And the red and green and all that stuff.
Yeah, but like the pretty white lights. And it's like, well, maybe if they were up all year round, I wouldn't appreciate them as much. But right now, for this month, driving by the lights, driving by the decorations makes me very happy.
I agree with you. And I suggested years ago that when we take down our lights, perhaps in March, wouldn't it be nice to have some like light up daffodils or something, or light up tulips,
yeah,
some light
up
early flowers of spring, you know, you kind of get that going, because it does seem really dull when everybody turns them all off and then we have to wade through February and March.
And especially in this state, because the worst months of winter are basically once all the Christmas lights are gone. And so it's just like brown, sludgy snow.
Yeah.
It's still 5 degrees outside. Everyone just wants spring to come. And we don't have any decorations to at least bring a smile to our face. But
that'll be our side hustle, Kristen.
Exactly. So, you know, we love a good national holiday, national observance. And there is plenty today. One of which is, it's National Christmas Lights Day. So we want to hear from you on what are the must-not-miss Christmas light display, holiday display spectacles in your part of Wisconsin.
And it might just be a particular house that really goes
totally
all out.
One house that you love, one park that really goes out, like does it big. We want to hear where is the, what in your town is just lights up, excuse the pun, for the holidays, 844-967-2789. But it's also National Peppermint Bark Day.
Who knew?
Well, you do now. But it was kind of interesting. Williams-Sonoma. I did not realize the connection of Williams-Sonoma, the retail store.
The fancy cookware store.
The fancy cookware store. So this is the history of I guess, kind of like peppermint bark in general, but specifically why it became a thing. So in 1998, Williams-Sonoma debuted the, all caps, the original peppermint bark, trademarked, which is now often copied, but never matches in quality or flavor. I say this, I had peppermint bark at my wedding. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
Crafted in small batches with no added artificial flavor or color, this top quality bark, you know, bark, is made with custom blend of chocolate and triple distilled peppermint oil. And Williams-Sonoma spends 12 weeks every year making peppermint bark just for the holidays. They add it to their cookware responsibilities, but this is a thing for them. And it took more than 20 rounds of testing to settle on the final perfect recipe for their peppermint bark. And it takes more than 24 hours to make a batch from start to finish.
Wow.
And today, 18 products bear the peppermint bark name at Williams-Sonoma.
And this is almonds and chocolate and peppermint, essentially.
Essentially. Yeah. And so, but this is, I get all these, if any of anyone's ever interested, on nationaltoday.com. And it's funny because they added all these, like, stats about, and like polling. One was like, Americans love peppermint bark. We asked 2,000 Americans how they feel about peppermint bark. 53% love it.
There are 330 million people in this country, and you ask 2,000, and we all love peppermint bark now?
And then they have a map of the country, and
where it's pro peppermint bark.
Yeah, which states are more or less pro peppermint bark? So states that love peppermint bark the most: California, 86%.
Wow.
Washington State, 90%. Texas, Oklahoma, 80%. We're 75. Wisconsin is 75% of us love peppermint bark. So there's some fun facts for you today. It is also National Cookie Cutter Day.
Oh, I love that.
Do you know that originally, before they were called cookie cutters, they were called biscuit cutters?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But came from England.
Came from, well, kind of.
Oh.
So, some more fun history. Cookie cutters made of ceramic or wood were first actually found in Egypt in the year 2000 BC.
Come on.
Yeah.
What, were they like sacred cat cutouts or something?
That's a good idea. The cat eyeliner. I don't know. I mean, that's just what it says, that there was something to mold or to cut dough of some sort.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And then, but it wasn't until the 16th century that cookie cutters became popular. And it was because of the gingerbread man. Or woman, if you want to get into that
PC
ridiculousness. The gingerbread pattern. So the kings started this custom, and gingerbread cookies were frequently served to Queen Elizabeth I's court. And then once the gingerbread cookies became famous, it was basically people started talking about gingerbread biscuits, and more bakeries around the region in England started using the cookie cutters, making these gingerbread cookies. And then by the 1800s, tin cookie cutters were easy to find at any small shop. And then it got the first biscuit cutter in the United States popped up around 1875. And there you go. Do you have a favorite cookie cutter? Are you a baker?
I do like to bake.
Okay.
And I will get together usually with one of my sisters and nieces, a couple of my nieces, and we will do a Saturday and do some baking. I have my mother's original cookie cutters, and she probably got hers in the 50s, assuming. So there's a reindeer cutout that I really like.
Okay.
It rarely looks like a reindeer.
I was going to say, that's when the intricate cookie cutter,
you
have to be careful, because once they, if you cut, if there's too thin on one side, then all of a sudden there's nubs breaking off and you can't recognize what it's supposed to be. And
We always lose the antlers, and then it looks like a bad dog. And there's an old-fashioned bell-shaped.
Bells, I always feel like, were pretty easy. Like, it's hard to screw up a bell.
Yeah. And it's been pretty easy to decorate, too, because we always find that the first dozen cookies, I'll get really intricate with toothpicks, and designing and following all the lines, and by this 37th cookie, you're like, just give me some frosting. I'm throwing some sprinkles on it. We're done.
We're done. Just move on.
I'll wrap it up.
Yeah, that sounds about how it went in our house, too. But
what about you? Was that a family thing for you?
It was certainly a family thing. And now it's like, I don't know. It's funny how the home ownership marriage thing, all of a sudden, I feel like we're building traditions. So we will be decorating, speaking of national Christmas lights. Debbie Bry is currently at my house. I think she's Christmas-fying my house at the moment, but we're decorating the tree tonight.
She's gonna elfify your house.
Oh my God. Well, our house growing up every year, I think I literally heard my brother in the other room while I was prepping for the show today. He's like, Mom, you're like the mother of Christmas. And she goes all out. And so it's always been, like, now that I have a house, I think the desire to decorate in the interior, on the exterior, and get into it and have storage for said Christmas decorations to sit there 11 months out of the year.
Get a colored bin. Get a green or red bin so you know where all the
which
stuff.
Ones it is. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so we're certainly starting to build our own traditions for Mike and I, but certainly in our house growing up, Christmas cookies, all the cookies were a thing. But I remember that specifically. It's pretty much what you said. There were certain shapes that were easier to make sure that they kept in their form.
Yep.
There were certain shapes that were more fun to decorate. But then by the end, and it was always messy. You can probably imagine that I am not a kid who colors in the lines. And so I certainly was not a kid who was necessarily good at like frosting cookies.
So you weren't doing toothpick art like
no,
I was.
No.
No.
And it just got everywhere. and so, but yeah, I'm excited. I think tomorrow, as far as getting back to the question of what Christmas spectacles in Southeast Wisconsin do you always try to take in?
Well, there is, and I was thinking about this driving home yesterday. If you head eastbound from Highway 100 on Burleigh,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a golf course that will be on the south side. There is a house on the north side that must have been an old farmhouse that's probably from the late 1880s. They go all out, man, and it's a big two-story. So I'm always really impressed with people who can do the arch, you know, in the front of their house that requires an extension ladder, because that's not easy to do.
It's literally putting your neck on the line, yes, for your Christmas lights.
Yes, it is. And they do every single window and just nothing is missed. It's really spectacular. And of course, as you mentioned, Candy Cane Lane in mm-hmm. West Dallas has been there forever. I believe Berna Botanical Gardens does something now.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I might be wrong on that, but I know that there's a big display in Waukesha. And yeah, there's always something to go see.
Yeah, so we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What are the big Christmas lights or displays in Rapids or Wausau or Amory? Or I should be able to think of, I'm sure the Capitol's all lit up in Madison.
Oh, I would imagine.
But other things in Madison, Richland Center, I'm trying to think of other. Isn't there another thing in the Milwaukee area that is I'm like the Chinese light displays that are really, it's really beautiful.
Is that for Christmas though?
I thought it was during December.
We'll check.
Which doesn't feel like there's necessarily a Chinese holiday that overlaps with that, but I have to look that up at the break.
We'll check during the break. And we have a cookie text too that we'll come back.
Oh, we'll come back and talk to that. So yeah, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. What are the Christmas displays that you always look forward to that you want to recommend that other people check out and appreciate because it is National Christmas Lights Day. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about doing stuff for the holidays, traditions, things going on this weekend as far as National Christmas Lights and all the things that are happening. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Not even a mouse. No one was moving. No one was there. The septic had backed up. There was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing. No, not at all. To have that smell linger through bathroom and hall, Mom was left crying. The kids plugged their noses. Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved. The problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it. The problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. If you don't know that song and why Jane Matinere, in all of her wisdom, would play that song with this topic, it's because it's called Light 'em Up.
It's a great song.
It is a really good song.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it's National Christmas Lights Day.
Yay.
And so probably at a lot of spots, I think Christmas lights and holiday lights and displays have already been up. But certainly now is the appropriate time that they should all be up. And we're asking you, what's your favorite display in your area in Wisconsin? Is it a singular house? Is it a park? Is it a botanical garden? 844-967-2789. I know the collaborative effort that goes into Candy Cane Lane in Southeast Wisconsin, because it's not, it's just, I feel like it must be part of the contract when you buy a house in that neighborhood.
You got to know what's coming.
You're like, well, this is what we do as a neighborhood. Every single house goes all out, and then thousands of people drive zigzag around the block looking at everyone's house
for the
month of December.
Yes.
And so you don't want to be the one house that decided, well, we're not really into it. What do you do if you move into one of those houses and you're Jewish?
Put up a big light at a menorah.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
I think that would work.
So it is a spectacle, though, to have that much collaborative effort.
Everybody puts up with it. Because it's got to be inconvenient when you want to get out of your own driveway.
Yes. Although that is one of the things that I appreciate. This was not a thing in Madison, I don't think, unless there's certain neighborhoods. But so often in the neighborhoods around Milwaukee, there's the back alley to get to your garage.
True.
Versus needing to back in, like your driveway that backs into a traffic line of Christmas light viewers. And so I don't know if that neighborhood is one of those where at least you have a back way to escape your house.
To your garage.
Yeah.
We had a texter from the 262. Thank you so much for texting in at 844-967-2789. Previous break, we were talking about Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my wife makes like 18 different kinds of cookies each Christmas. We give cookie plates to all our friends and family and our kids' teachers. My contribution, bourbon balls.
Ooh.
And some Buckeyes. I don't know what Buckeyes are.
Buckeyes are I think they're chocolate covered peanut butter.
Ooh.
And they look like little Buckeye nuts.
Oh, that sounds
really good.
Not
to be confused with the Ohio Buckeyes.
That's from Dave in the Shaw.
Oh,
he said that the Chinese lights display was in fall. That's what I thought.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, maybe I'm forgetting this, and it's because it really has nothing to do with Christmas. But one of my friends recently shared a recipe with me for, because I am a big fan of bourbon, as we learned when Steve Palak was here.
Yeah.
He told us the Kentucky Chew, which I still am doing.
Do you?
I do.
And it does make a difference.
It does make a difference.
I thought it was a joke when he first explained.
If you missed that episode, radio legend Steve Palak was here before I left for vacation, and I am a big bourbon fan, and he taught us that the right way to drink bourbon is in your first sip, you have to like swish it around your mouth like it's...
like you're chewing
like mouthwash.
Something.
Or yeah, like you're chewing something, but also like it's like mouthwash. And that makes every subsequent sip, you can actually taste the bourbon versus the alcohol.
And instead of it just burning, mm-hmm. it's smooth.
But I mentioned that because I'm going to try in my limited baking, extra time I have to bake.
Yes, I'm sure you'll just be whipping up 18 batches of cookies.
Bourbon Rice Krispies.
That should be pretty easy.
Right? I grew up, and I always was a bigger fan of the peanut butter Rice Krispies more than the traditional just marshmallow ones, but I'm interested in trying these out because that sounds very good.
I'm just wondering, those poor Krispies aren't very hardy. Doesn't the bourbon just make them go...
I don't know. I guess,
and they just evaporate?
Well, I'll make them and then I'll bring
and
them
then
in.
We'll find out.
We can find out.
All right.
But I looked up some of the other fun traditions, light displays around the state. So I guess up in Green Bay, it's the Garden of Lights at the Green Bay Botanical Gardens, which looks beautiful. It looks
I
like
bet.
There's a big walkway with a bunch of arches. It doesn't look like you necessarily had to get on a ladder to put them on, but it's beautiful. And then Olin Park, I forgot that. Olin Park in Madison has a bunch of different light displays of like characters and a Green Bay Packers helmet and stuff. Obviously Riverside Park in Milwaukee near downtown,
I know they did.
That's
that.
When I first moved to Milwaukee, I lived right by the Fiserv Center. Fiserv Forum, sorry. And I remember I moved here in October, so it was pretty recently after I had moved. All of those lights go up right on the river, and it was...
That's spectacular.
It was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Christmas Carnival of Lights, which happens in... where is this? I don't even know where it says that happens, but Oshkosh has the Celebration of Lights. In Sheboygan, they have Making Spirits Bright. These are just making... This is just making me happy looking at all these pictures. There's Country Christmas in Pewaukee, Holiday Festival of Lights and Jingle Bus in Milwaukee. What's the Jingle Bus?
So you don't have to get cold.
Oh!
So you jump on board the Jingle Bus.
And they just take you to see all of the lights?
I think so.
Oh, that's fun.
And certainly if you have, you know, if you have munchkins.
Yeah. Who get cold
and
tired.
Them to walk and, yeah, so that's a nice way to get around and so you can see everything.
The Rotary Winter Wonderland in Marshfield and Candy Cane Lane in West Allis, as we already talked about.
There's no excuse if you need a fix on Christmas lights. You can certainly find it.
The Rotary Botanical Garden Holiday Light Show in Janesville. And so what do we miss? Let us know. 844-967-2789. Which Christmas light show are you looking forward to that we did not just list off? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is American that's super weird to other cultures. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows level off around 24. Daytime highs approaching 36. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So on this Giving Tuesday, we've been highlighting different organizations that you are excited about, people that you want to highlight, groups that you want to highlight that you should consider donating to, giving your time to. But now for the next half hour, we wanted to highlight a local organization that you've probably heard of before, maybe have your own local chapter of. But Josh Barnacle, who is the marketing and communication manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County, is here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, we were just talking at the break, and I have to admit that most of the time when I think of St. Vincent de Paul, I think of it as a place where you can donate stuff to or you can go thrift shopping at. But that is only part of the larger mission and programming, right?
Absolutely. And you're not far off. It's my first inspection of them was the same thing. I would go in and thrift shop and find cool, unique things. And that was my first experience to them as well. But yeah, St. Vincent de Paul is much, much more than that. There's so many different programs that we offer to the community, and they're all centered around helping the most needy at their times of most need. And the thrift stores are kind of the excellent vehicle for getting and generating funds to support those programs. We have like our summer lunch program where children who really rely on the hot lunch meals throughout the school year in order to sustainably feed themselves throughout the year, they really use that as like a government type of subsidized form to really fill in those gaps. They don't have that during the summer because school is not in session. So it's something that we can provide to those struggling families of like, you make sure you have a meal, you have structure, you have that kind of routine that school helps to bring even when it's not in session. Our jail ministry programs really help trying to cut down recidivism. And one program that we have called Project Angel Tree, where a lot of the times people don't think that some of these incarcerated individuals, they have kids that they didn't do anything wrong. It's a victim of circumstance, and they deserve to have a good holiday and deserve to be able to celebrate as much as they can. So Project Angel Tree is a program that's focused on providing those kids presents and giving those incarcerated individuals an opportunity to talk to their kids. They're able to write a note and give a personalized address to their children for Christmas and give them that kind of connection that they wouldn't be able to get. And it's little programs like that on top of rental assistance and providing appliances and furniture for those in need, in a much other, domestic abuse situations. We're a resource for a lot of people that don't have any place left to turn. And it's entirely funded and supported by the generosity of the communities that we service.
And so you're obviously in the Waukesha St. Vincent de Paul. Is this the same for every St. Vincent de Paul as far as they have their programming and that programming is funded by the store?
Correct. The programs themselves may differ slightly. Like certain ones will offer different programs that others don't, but they're all supported and funded in the same way through the generosity of people donating, whether that be financial support, clothing that they don't wear anymore, furniture that they've upgraded, things of that nature. As long as they can still be in serviceable and good cosmetic condition and would benefit somebody else, that's the kind of things that we take and we really appreciate because it helps us, once again, generate those funds to help those that are in need in the community.
Josh, I'm so impressed by that angel program that you just mentioned about, getting presents for the kids of people who are incarcerated, because I think they get forgotten. And I think people may not necessarily be sympathetic, which is tragic.
I completely agree. It's a thing that's often overlooked, and they don't deserve that. They deserve to be able to be kids and enjoy themselves and have that special holiday time. And everyone in their life has made mistakes before. Like, no one is free of that. So, but they haven't even had the opportunity to have that happen to them, and they deserve to be able to have a good holiday season. And it's become kind of like my personal pet project. Like, it's one of my favorite programs because of that. And it's really special. So I really like to talk about it whenever I can.
Well, this is a great opportunity to talk about it. And so, Because what, for people who are now maybe feeling inspired to give in one way or another, I guess the first thing is when we're donating, when you donate stuff, what limitations, you just said cosmetically still works, but like what are the limitations of this is not your dumping ground?
Yes.
But what, like what should people keep in mind when they're thinking, they're going through stuff, they're getting rid of stuff, and what can be donated and what you should just get rid of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Throw away.
There's, I mean, there's always a fine line there, but generally speaking, we're looking for things that are in good working or cosmetic condition. We are also very sensitive to pet dander and smoke smells, because there's a lot of people that have allergies for those things, and efficiently cleaning them for us is something we can't always promise. So those are things that we tend to shy away from, but the amount of things that we do accept and can be useful to us and to others that come and shop in our locations is pretty vast. The main things that we wouldn't take are like mattresses if they've been used before, things that fabrics and textiles that are very difficult to clean like properly are things that we would mostly shy away from. But I think you'd be surprised by the amount of things that can be donated and are useful and beneficial to people.
So. Does that include, Josh, things like dishes and flatware, and you know, you get a new set of knives for Christmas, and now I have a block of pretty good knives that I could, you know, give away. Do you take things like that too?
Absolutely, absolutely. And clothing, electronics, as long as they're still functioning, hard goods, which would be, you know, dishware, dinnerware, all kinds of different odds and ends of like home goods that we kind of categorize that as. We are open to taking pretty much anything and everything outside of, if you don't want it on your shelf or you don't want it in your house for some reason, we probably don't want it either, unless it's just like a I've upgraded situation or, you know, something like that.
It doesn't spark joy anymore.
Thank you.
Marie Kondo.
There you go.
Yeah, someone else should get joy from this thing. It no longer gives me any.
Exactly. If you wouldn't give it to like your child, sending them to college, if it's below that bar, we probably should consider a recycling or a disposal service.
So besides donating stuff, what are other ways people can help St. Vincent de Paul? Is it volunteering? Is it monetary donations?
I mean, monetary donations are always king. They help the most because we're able to help extend some of the dollars, where if you were to go out and buy something, we're able to work within different discounts and other beneficiaries where we can make that dollar stretch significantly more. So it's always beneficial that way, but time is just as important. Even just coming into the store and helping us sort things, price things, put things on shelves. We have our book department is almost entirely run by volunteers. Everything's kind of automated through a computer there, so they're able to scan things, put the prices on it. They organize everything so well. Mark and Ruth Ann are great. I love them dearly. I love all of our volunteers, but I get to see them almost every day, so they're kind of special to me personally. But yes, volunteering your time is just as important and just as impactful as donating dollars. But yeah, there's so many different ways you can help out, both at the store level or at a council level at your local church conference, which we have 26 throughout the county. So yeah.
Great.
We spoke with someone, Josh, from Feeding America of Eastern Wisconsin, Southeastern Wisconsin, last week, and she had talked about how much the volunteers get out of it. And for some of these people who are retired and maybe a little bit more isolated or don't have a lot of family, this really becomes a second family for folks.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great way for them to share their own personal strengths and gifts that they've had throughout their life to benefit others. But then there's also that sense of family and community that comes with it, where you have people that you can talk to every day and you have a renewed purpose, because what you're doing is directly helping people in the area that you live in. And it's part of the reason I go to work every day.
How long have you been working there?
I've been there for, it was 8 years in November.
Wow.
So we're working on the decade. We're getting there.
Do you get a gold watch?
No, not
a donated
quite.
Gold watch.
I get another pat on the back, but that's about it. But
so going into the holiday season, are there unique challenges that always pop up around this time of year?
Absolutely. I mean, there's need throughout the year, but during the holidays, especially once things get colder, we work with different shelters around the area to be able to provide coats and things, and those are always incredibly, incredibly necessary once the temperatures start dropping. And there's always that influx during this time of year where giving is even more important and more special, just because of the season that it is. And a lot of the needs start to arise here. And St. Vincent de Paul is one of the other only organizations that's allowed to pay other people's utility bills.
Oh, interesting.
You know how they always ask you that question of like, are you sure this is you logging in to pay your bill? Where you're like, yeah, I make the joke all the time of like, please let somebody else pay my bill. I would love that. St. Vincent de Paul is one of the people that can actually do that. Very instrumental in preventing utility shutoffs for people, providing rental assistance, and really just helping people get back on their feet. And that happens a lot during this time of year as well, when once again it gets cold and you do not want that heat getting turned off, especially if you have small children. And we're one of the resources that prevents that from happening to people.
So is your job as the marketing communications person, mm-hmm. what is the balance between we'll say fundraising side of it, and that encompasses getting people to donate money, donate stuff, volunteer, and then also the marketing and communication side of people knowing what resources are available if they need them?
It's a difficult balance.
Yeah.
And up until probably about a year ago, it's been mildly separated, where okay. the programs were kind of in charge of doing that themselves, and I was strictly on the store side. And we've started to merge a little bit more, and I've been able to put a little bit more of my creative energy into getting notice out for some of these programs. And I mean, as far as resources go, the stores get a lot of questions about, I'm in need of assistance. Where can I go? What can I do? And since I handle all of the online and social media presence, I've had a hand in directing those people. Mm-hmm. So by proxy, I've become very involved with how majority of our programs work and that information. So I've been putting that out in as many different social media avenues as I can, working with a lot of other local organizations, like the Hope Center, which is not too far from where we are recording this right now, and other organizations like that in the area, like La Casa Esperanza, not too far from here, with employment services and things like that. So it's just getting the message out to as many people and in many ways as possible, because everybody kind of gets information in their own personal little way.
Yeah.
So this wide a net as I can to let people know where they can find help.
I always think about that in the sense of, we're so used to being, a lot of us are computer literate now, mm-hmm. and we get information through social media or through websites, and not realizing that there's a lot of people who don't have access to, I mean, they can use the library computers or whatever, but like actually still having the bulletin board mm-hmm. and like the actual physical stuff, or considering how to reach people who don't necessarily have the phone or the laptop or whatever. And so it was such an interesting, so I was asked it because I was, how do you reach the people who need this most?
We do still a good amount of traditional print media, because for the exact reasons that you stated, there's a lot of people that, especially the ones that need the most help, don't have as readily connections to online mediums like that. So, I mean, we still do like, you know, the billboards, and mm-hmm. we still do mailers from time to time, things of that nature, to make sure that those physical things are still out there outside along with the digital.
All right, we got 1 minute left. So where's your fast pitch of where people can get more information?
It's pretty simple. You can go to svdpthrift.net, and that will show you where you can get assistance. It can also has a tab on the top right corner where you can donate directly to us, and you can even select a program that you would choose. So if you wanted to go towards something specific, you can. Otherwise, you can go directly to the Needy Family Fund, where it can go pretty much anywhere to any program that we offer.
Awesome. Josh Barnacle is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for being so generous on this Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much. We're going to take one more break and then wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Don't you worry.
Pride. Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellent.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place, you know, that spot that only you know about, and instead of what you came for, you found something a little different? What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jennifer Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha District Attorney's Office Victim Witness Assistance Program. So I was checking out the Facebook page, and it seems like there, as much good work you do, it seems like there is someone who outshines everyone, which is Pepper the dog. And so what role does Pepper play in all of your work?
Pepper the dog, to be clear, is the most favored employee in the DA's office. And I'm reminded very frequently that she comes way above me. So we went on this sort of journey to get a comfort dog several years ago and made it happen or realize that dream at the end of 2020. And we now have Pepper, I should say, our courthouse facility dog. She is not a service dog. She was raised and trained as one, but I like to be careful about that because people, there's differences. Mm-hmm. So Pepper is not allowed anywhere. She has to have permission, but she is now the Waukesha Victim Assistance Canine Specialist and has the ability to be really anywhere on campus and has just done amazing things. We sort of knew having her would be a great addition to our services, but couldn't have imagined how amazing it's been. So I've been sold on the benefits of dogs to assist people, to help calm them down, to help ease anxiety for a long time, and just started getting more serious about it. The DA that we have, the county executive that we have, our county board are very supportive. And in my early research, I found a program called Journey Together Service Dog. Someone at that program answered my initial call as I was just getting some background information and spent about 2 hours on the phone with me. And I hung up that night knowing that was the organization I wanted to work with. Journey Together actually raises and trains service dogs for individuals, veterans with PTSD, and now have expanded to training and placing some facility dogs, some dogs for crime victims, and they, along with a number of amazing volunteers and their organization professionals, train those dogs in Oshkosh Correctional Institution inmates actually learn job skills by training the dogs. So I thought was just an amazing example of restorative justice, and that inmates would help train this dog to work with crime victims. So
I just kind of got chills. That's a great story. It's a great program.
It really is amazing. And probably shame on me, but in my career, I had not really toured prisons or looked at their rehabilitation efforts as a victim advocate and fairly strident, staunch one, if you ask anyone. I really hadn't paid much attention to that. So after working with them a little bit, I did go spend an evening at the prison participating in one of these classes, and it really gave me a whole new perspective on those programs for offenders and how wonderful it was, the efforts of both the inmates and the staff at the Correctional Institute to make that happen. The offenders who participate give up a lot of privileges in order to be part of that program and really take it very seriously. They even have a whole grooming setup there, and it's really profound. And I walked away wanting all of the dogs.
As we do.
The director of training for Journey Together said, no, we have to get you the right dog for the right program. And after a couple of years, Pepper became available, and they called me and said, we think we have the dog for you. And I was like, I don't want a lab. I don't want dog hair everywhere. And I have to convince the county that this is going to be a good thing. And they had me come to meet Pepper. And as I was leaving that morning, I said to my husband and daughter, now, listen, we have to keep our expectations in line here. So you have to help me and remind me as I'm leaving. And of course, as I was walking out the door, they were chanting, get the dog, get the dog. So I went up and met her, and then we arranged for a visit to the courthouse. And anyone who had any reservations, they were immediately, I think, sort of quieted by meeting Pepper. And she's just been phenomenal. She's worked with so many victims. Of course, only victims who choose. We make it very clear that this is optional. Staff have been great. I've worked at the courthouse a long, long time, as we've established. And I think there are many people who don't know my name, but they will scream Pepper across the building at me. And one day I was walking to my car to go to the doctor, and someone screamed out like the third story window, where is Pepper? Like, she's in the office. It's okay. I just have to go get my teeth cleaned or whatever I was doing. So,
and I bet too, Jen, it's not just kids who are comforted by Pepper. It's just people.
Exactly. I think when we were trying to establish this program, and we've really made it a program, we have custom Pepper activity books that explain the process for younger people, talk about the rules of testifying. We have some stuffed Peppers that we can give the kids. But I think when we had it in mind, of course, we were focusing on children, but it has just been an outstanding success with all ages. I didn't really think about some of the other age groups would reach. The first time that a young teenage boy was in our office and Pepper was there, he was very non-communicative. Who wants, you know, they don't want to talk to Jen. They don't want to talk to some middle-aged old lady, you know, about this very painful case they're going through. And as he was going to go watch his care center video, he said, well, can Pepper watch my video with me? And then I walked by the room, and he's sitting with his arm around the dog. I thought, oh, we've done a really good thing here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we responded to a shooting at an industry, and that was a lot of mostly older men, again, who, if I walk around the room saying, I'd like to tell you about crime victim compensation, they might be polite and listen. But if I walk around the room with Pepper, pretty soon everyone's talking to me, and then I can sort of slip in that information about resources for them or ask them how they're doing. And again, with children, it's just been incredible and outstanding. The county has been phenomenal about it. The judges have been great. Everyone really has, I think, seen the benefit of this. In the new criminal court tower attached to our older buildings, we have a victim witness waiting room attached to every courtroom. So sometimes during sentencing or other hearings, Pepper is waiting in that room. And we had a sentencing of a case with a number of teenage sexual assault victims. And we had Pepper in that room, and they could come in, and some of them would lay on the floor with her. They can hear what's going on in the other room. From there, we turn the volume up or turn it off. And so it's just been amazing.
I highly recommend going to the Waukesha County Victim Witness Facebook page, where you can see plenty of pictures of Pepper and find more information. We'll link all of this to our blog today as resources available to specifically Jen's program. But also, I would love to know more about how this exists in district attorney's offices across the state. So thank you so much, Jen, for joining us today. I'm happy that we ended on a lighter note with Pepper, but thank you for your work.
Oh, well, no problem.
All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the break.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this